بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان على خير خلق الله أجمعين، وعلى آله وصحبه ومن اهتدى بهديه وتحلى بصفاته إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، وقد قال تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد بعد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: يا أيها الذين آمنوا ادخلوا في السلم كافة ولا تتبعوا خطوات الشيطان إنه لكم عدو مبين. صدق الله العظيم. Respected elders, dear brothers, mothers and sisters listening over the receiver, all praise and thanks is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has blessed us with a complete and perfect system of life. We have mentioned before the deen of Islam, the sharia Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to us, governs, instructs, advises every breathing moment of our lives. Not just when it comes to our belief system, our acts of ibadat, our worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but every single move that a believer makes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has provided guidance for us. In the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses the people of iman, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. All those who have iman, Allah then says to them, أُدْخُلُوا فِي السِّلْمِ كَافَّةً. All those who have iman, enter into Islam completely. So what is meant by this, ulama explain, is that those who have iman, they have belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they have belief in the basic tenets of faith. Enter into Islam means bring every facet of your life according to sharia. How Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants it, how Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has left it for us, bring your entire life upon this pattern, then you will be regarded as a complete Muslim. And therefore we have mentioned before that when it comes to the a'mal of deen, then by and large this is divided into five branches. The first, obviously the most important, our imaniyat, our aqaid, our beliefs, which we had discussed in great detail, alhamdulillah. Then comes our ibadat, our acts of worship, our salah, the times of salah, the postures of salah, the different masail related to salah, zakat, hajj. Thirdly, our muamalat, our business dealings, buying, selling, renting, hiring, what transactions are permissible, what is impermissible. Fourthly, our own sifat and akhlaq, to rid myself of evil qualities, envy, jealousy, anger, and to develop praiseworthy qualities within myself, tawakkul, trust upon Allah, humility. These four branches, generally we find there is some awareness when it comes to our iman, our beliefs. Then we know we've got to believe in Allah, in Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We know about the malaika, the kutub of Allah. When it comes to our ibadat also, people are generally quite conscious regarding salah, the correct times of salah. If a person is unsure, he'll ask the ulama ikram, was my salah correct? Did I do this correctly? Was my zakat calculated in the correct manner? Did I discharge it to the correct recipients? Our business dealings also, to a great extent, there is some awareness. We want to know whether our transactions are correct, there must be no interest, etc. And regarding our akhlaq also and our sifat, this also an effort is being made. Programs take place on a weekly basis, islahi programs, which are aimed at developing akhlaq, ridding ourselves of evil, etc. The fifth branch of deen, which we are discussing in this particular program, is what is called mu'asharat, or husne mu'asharat, adabul mu'ashara, which quite simply refers to the etiquettes associated with social conduct. How do I carry myself out? How do I conduct myself in the different settings of life? In my daily tasks, when it comes to my eating, my sleeping, my interactions with my spouse, with my children, my demeanor in front of my elders and seniors, in front of ulama-i-kiram, my behavior in the masjid, my the etiquettes associated with driving my vehicle. These aspects, by and large, Hazrat Thanvi rahmatullahi alayhi says, there is great amount of neglect in the ummah. And many a times we place a great amount of emphasis on the a'mal of deen. As an example, just for us to understand, we all know and we all have heard that part of deen, a very praiseworthy action, is to visit the sick. Udu al-marid, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has mentioned that visit the sick. In fact, it is the right of a person over another Muslim when he is sick that you visit him. So we know about this and we hear about it, we encourage it, and people are conscious regarding this. Many make an effort. Many brothers, alhamdulillah, on a weekly basis visit the hospitals and they go and visit those who are ill. But how many of us take care or take note of the etiquettes associated with visiting the sick? One is we're doing the action. We're going and we're meeting the sick person. But how do I conduct myself? What do I say to him? The duration of my visit, I mustn't be too long, too short. How many times we find somebody is visiting a sick person and he is talking to him and that person's wife and children are waiting outside. Visiting hours are limited. And now he is worried that his wife won't get in. The wife is worried outside. But I feel that I'm doing something very good. I'm visiting him. I'm keeping him company. Or sometimes the things we say to the person, that you've been diagnosed with this sickness and some connection of mine last year also was diagnosed. He passed away in 2 weeks' time. So sometimes we say the incorrect thing and a person thinks, I'm visiting the sick, alhamdulillah, I'm doing something very good. So yes, the action is good, but the adab and the etiquettes associated with this. So this is what this program or the series is all about. And very important, my dear brothers, before we commence, that we correct our niyat, our intention. Many a times we find that when we sit in a program, and especially programs of this nature, and we hear a certain point, a certain etiquette, and my mind automatically goes to somebody else, that so and this point will be good for so and so. Better I get the recording and send it to him. Or that person, this shortcoming is in his life. So primarily this is for our own reformation, our own islah, that this branch of deen must be perfected in my life. When I will perfect this in my life becomes valuable in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now the a'mal I do become weighty in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Many a times we find our mashayikh, our akabir, many of us may be thinking that their a'mal is on a very, very high level. The entire night they're reading tahajjud salah and perhaps half their wealth they give away in sadaqah. A group of sahaba came to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, came to Aisha radiallahu anha, to the home of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, and they came to inquire about the actions of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam in privacy at night. What does he do? And they had thought that perhaps there's a lot of ma'amulat and wazaif and practices that he is doing, ibadat that he is doing in his home. When Aisha radiallahu anha explained to them the tartib of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam at night in the home, كَأَنَّهُمْ تَقَالُّوهَا, it was as though they deemed it to be very little, that we thought he is doing much more than this. And likewise we find when it comes to our akabir, our mashayikh, sometimes we feel that perhaps the whole night they are awake. But we find what is the distinguishing factor, they may be doing the same actions as us, they making the same amount of tilawat, same amount of nafil namaz, but the way and the manner in which they do it makes it valuable. That they strive to do it in accordance to the sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. When I enter the masjid, must be in accordance to sunnah. I was in the masjid, he was in the masjid, but whose stay was more valuable? Sometimes two people are eating next to each other. Same plate of food, same duration, they're sitting at the dastarkhan. But one person does it in accordance to sunnah, that entire meal becomes valuable. It becomes beneficial for him on the scale of good deeds. So the intention is this must be reformed in my own life. That my conduct, the etiquettes that I display in my interactions with others, and the main point, as Hazrat Anmi Rahmatullah Ali has mentioned, the main principle that this entire branch is based on, is that I must not be a means of takleef to anybody. My existence must not be a means of difficulty and takleef to any person. And ulama say, the first person I must not give takleef to is myself. How many a times a person is searching my car keys, finally he finds it, in the third pocket. So he doesn't even know, he's giving takleef to himself. Why he did not follow the correct etiquette? Where to place his items? How to, the sequence and the tartib associated with these things? Many a times a person goes home. Allah protect us, Allah make it that it's not like this. But my existence in the house is a cause of takleef. So the wife also, when the husband is at home, now she has to worry where he's going to leave his shoes, how he's going to leave his plate on the dastarkhan, and his things are just lying all over the show. I've got to clean up after him. So all of these things, we're giving takleef to the next person. So Hazrat Anwi Rahmatullah Ali says, the main principle of this branch is don't give takleef to anyone. That's why he would say to those mureedin and people would come to him, that if you have come to me to become some great buzruk or something, then go somewhere else. Here I'll teach you how to become a true human being, a true insan in the true sense of the word. You have tartib in your life, you have sequence in your life, you know how to conduct yourself. You know how to make people feel nice. You don't put a person on the spot, as we say. You don't make him feel uncomfortable. You have the desired amount of respect for your seniors, compassion and kindness for the youth and the youngsters. All of this makes a person a true human being, and a true Muslim, a true mu'min. So, inshallah, over the next few weeks, we'll go through a few of these sections, the etiquettes of elders, etiquettes of spouses, etiquettes for the husband, for the wife, the etiquettes of the masjid. Here also we find how many of us know these masail, or we know some of these things, but is there consciousness? Whether it is entering the masjid with the right foot, leaving with the left foot, reciting the du'as, sometimes how we put on our shoes outside, how we park our vehicles, all of these things, so that my, again, as we mentioned, my life must become valuable. Just one incident that comes to mind, our Shaykh Damud Barakatuh, who had mentioned this to us, that when they were in one year Jamaat in 1999, then they went to Hardoi to visit Hazrat Mawlana Abrar al-Haqsaab rahmatullah alayh, who was a Khalifa of Hazrat Thanwi rahmatullah alayh. So they went to his madrasa, and Hazrat was at an advanced age at that point in time. So he had his room and his bed, and he was seated on his bed, and the front portion of the room, there was a dastarkhan laid down for the guests. So this entire Jamaat went in, Jamaat of South African ulama who had qualified, they were spending their 1 year in the path of Allah, and they made salam, and they sat down, and the khadim prepared to serve them tea. So the tea was brought, the hot water, the milk, the sugar, the spoons, and Mawlana Abrar al-Haqsaab rahmatullah alayhi sat on his bed, and he just observed the entire scene, how they served the tea and how they had their tea. And after the entire thing was over, he began to shake his head. Then he gathered them and he said, now let me teach you something. He says, if you observe how you had just a simple cup of tea, that now the hot water started from this side, first person poured it, then he gave it to the person next to him, then the person opposite asked for it, he put his cup forward, so he poured for him, then somebody else sent his cup down, by that time the person on that side started with the milk, then the sugar started somewhere in the middle, somebody started passing out the spoons. So there's no sequence whatsoever. The water is one side, somebody has milk, somebody doesn't have sugar, somebody else doesn't have a spoon, he's borrowing somebody else's spoon. So he says, now the khadim is standing there, and he needs to see, is there enough tea, enough milk, enough sugar? If it started from one side with the correct sequence and tartib, then he can see it ended here, there's 5-6 people left, let me bring that much from the back. But now it's all over the show, the khadim himself is pareshan. He doesn't know how much more tea must I make. So then he said to them that, you know, South African ulama, mashallah, South Africa, they think that they are first class Muslims. He says, if you don't know how to have a simple cup of tea, how are you going to guide the ummah on more serious matters? So sometimes these basic things, when it comes to having our meals at home also, how do we do it in a manner that is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam. One person from the Banu Amir clan came, and he came to the door of Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam. He says, I'm entering. So Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam said to the khadim, the attendant, that go out and teach him how to enter. And go and tell him, say, assalamu alaykum, a'adkhulu. Make salam and ask, may I enter? So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, the moment he saw that there was some deficiency, some discrepancy, when it came to the conduct of the sahaba radiallahu anhum, immediately he made their tarbiyat. And he taught them that this is the correct way to do it. Not just the elderly, but Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is saying to the young boy, sammillah, when you eat, take the name of Allah, wakul biyaminik, eat with your right hand, wakul mimma yalik, and eat from the food that is closest to you, that is in front of you. So from a young age, these adab, these etiquettes were taught. We find generally our elders, our grandparents, great-grandparents, they may not have had an abundance of knowledge. But when it came to these finer points, they stressed upon it. Hold your Quran in the right hand. Hold your juzdan in the right hand. Keep your shoes in the left hand. These things we may think are trivial or insignificant, but this adds value to our amal. When we will bring our life in accordance to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, then Allah will become pleased. We'll end on this point. Ulama explain that there is no vacuum in the life of a believer. If we will not fill our ears and our mind and our heart with what is correct, then definitely the incorrect practices and teachings will come in. If we will not learn the correct adab and etiquettes that our deen has taught us in our conduct, in our interactions, and in how our behavior should be, then we will learn it from the internet. We learn it from social media. Our children will learn it from there, that what is good conduct and what is associated with good conduct, and they'll think that that is how we should carry ourselves out. Whether it be greeting others, smiling at others, how many times a person says, I went to the store, the cashier is a lady, but it's good etiquette now, I've got to smile at her, I've got to ask her how her day was, how her children are, or make some small talk, perhaps make a joke. This is not etiquette. Etiquette is what is in line with the sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, with the teachings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is our intention. We are all learning, I'm learning, all of us are learning. As we mentioned, the goal, the objective is to reform ourselves. That my life must become correct. And the main thing, that I must not become a means of takleef to anybody else, let alone myself, my wife, my children. When people see me, they get happy. This person is not going to trouble me. His being here, his speech, his actions is not going to become a means of me becoming uncomfortable or means of difficulty for me. Allah give us tawfiq and understanding. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.